Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Thank you, Tina. I like a song that gets up with it, amen? Good job, and appreciate that. Open your Bibles today, please. To the book of Matthew, chapter 18, the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. I'd like to preach a sermon simply entitled this morning, Forgiveness from the Heart. Forgiveness from the Heart. We're going to look at, in my estimation, one of the greatest passages in all the Bible that illustrates to us how much God forgave us. The single greatest thing that has ever happened to me in my entire 41 years of existence. I'll be 42 June the 1st, 2014. Security. The single greatest thing that has happened to me in my life is I've been forgiven. July the 6th, 1988, as a 16-year-old kid, at the First Baptist Church of Alexandria, Kentucky, I bowed my heart and head to God, and I asked God to forgive me of my sins. My sins, as my preacher said, had put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Of course, I know now, as somebody that has experienced forgiveness, I know now that not because my preacher said, I know biblically that indeed it was my sins that put Jesus on the cross. And because Jesus Christ died on that cross, when he died, they buried him. After 3 days, Jesus Christ rose again. And that night, on a Wednesday night, when I asked Christ to forgive me and believed the gospel message, which is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and I asked God to forgive me and I called upon God to save me, he saved me, and that instant he forgave me. But I hope you understand the gravity of that. And I know I was telling Stephen this, Brother Stephen, this morning. I said, you know, my wife and I was talking even recently, and I said to Leslie one time, I said, babe, I said, have you ever stopped and just, if you know Christ as your Savior now, have you ever stopped and just thought for a moment how much God has forgiven us? It's unbelievable. It's indescribable. They sang that song and they said, when heaven looks at us now, they see us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a biblical, foundational truth. The Bible says in Colossians that the Father looks at us now through the blood of His Son. And because He looks at us, He sees us without spot. He sees us without accusation. He sees us. You ready for this one? He sees us holy. Wow. Anybody amazed at the grace of God this morning? Thank you, Joe. I thought I was going to have to put a whooping on somebody this morning. No, I'm just kidding. We love these kids. We like them better when they're quiet. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Verse number 21 starts our text. Then came Peter to him. The him is none other than Jesus Christ. Matthew 18, 21. So Peter comes to the Lord and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? So there's a relationship involved here. It's a brother. It's primarily, and it's indicative in the text, it's a brother in Christ. It's a believer in Jesus. You see, if you're saved here today, I'm saved. And if you're saved, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I get a witness in the building? We're family. You say, yeah, but preacher, I've got family I don't like. I said the other day, I said, you know, when it comes to family reunions, I said, we all have crazy people in our families. I said, the thing though about you, you may be that crazy one the others talk about. So Peter says, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. But until 70 times seven. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher and guide. And Father, we'll praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, Jesus Christ is going to take the subject of forgiveness, as he often did in the New Testament. He's going to take the subject of forgiveness, and as he often did with a lot of different topics, he's going to take forgiveness to a higher level. Because Jesus Christ is confronted here with Peter, and Peter, I love Peter in the Bible, because Peter in the Bible was a brutally honest individual. He asked the questions that other disciples were thinking about, but didn't have the courage to ask. So finally he says to Jesus, hey, how often shall my brother offend me? Now keep it in the mind and flesh it out for a moment. So that indicates to us there was a good chance that one of his brothers in the Lord had offended him. So Peter's thinking to himself, okay, I've got this. I've got this matter of forgiveness. I've reached the spot in my life that I've mastered. I think Peter had this attitude. I've reached the aspect in my life that I've now mastered forgiveness. But Jesus, as he often does, with any of us, when we think we've reached something and we think we've arrived somewhere, Jesus often says, hold it, sweet friend. You haven't arrived. I'm going to take it to another level. And I'm going to show you that when it comes to the subject of forgiveness, number one, it isn't natural. Forgiveness isn't a natural thing. It's supernatural. Think with me for a moment. Let's flesh it out for a moment. You say, yeah, but preacher, forgiveness, I mean, we don't have to forgive. Well, biblically we do. On the authority of the Bible, we better. You say, but pastor, wait a minute. Forgiveness, Dr. Charles Stanley talks about forgiveness, and he says there's three elements really that involve forgiveness. First of all, there's been an injury. Peter says, how often shall my brother offend me? So he's been injured. He's been hurt. And then Dr. Stanley says, so there's an injury now. There's a debt resulting from that injury. And then thirdly, there should involve the cancellation of that debt. So Jesus now, he's going to raise forgiveness to a higher level. He's going to take it to a higher standard. And he's going to do this by illustrating for us a tremendous story in the Word of God about a king who had a servant that owed him money. The Bible tells us in verse 23, therefore, keep in context with the subject matter of forgiveness, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, so he's looking at his account, he's going over the books, if you will, and he's looking over them, and he's no doubt, he's seeing and people's names begin to pop up that owe him money, and he's trying to settle the debts that they owe him. So the Bible tells us, Jesus goes on and said, one, verse 24, was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Underline that phrase, 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him, look at this now, to be sold. And not just this guy to be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So here's the context of what we're going to look at today. Forgiveness from the heart. Does forgiveness have a limit? And I've been asked that many times. Preacher, yeah, but forgiveness, why do we forgive? Because God commands it. You didn't hear me. God Almighty commands forgiveness in his children. May I remind you that it isn't natural. It's supernatural. But may I also remind you of a passage in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writing to that local assembly in the church at Ephesus, and he says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What is he saying, preacher? That we're to forgive one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake. Question for you. Let me ask you a personal question. You ready for this one? Personal question. Everybody look up here for a minute. Let me ask you a personal question. You say, I don't like that. That's okay. Hear me. How much has God forgiven you of? Let that get a hold of you. You see, I have a God that has forgiven me of the simple sins. But brothers and sisters, I have a God that's forgiven me of a lot of ugly ones. A lot of ugly ones. And I know that comes as a shock to my wife because my wife thinks I'm perfect. She said, oh, yeah, boy. She goes, I found that out day one of our marriage. Actually, she found that out probably during our dating life. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. Forgiveness is something that is so incredible, the world doesn't understand it. Forgiveness goes a long way in a marriage. I'd venture to say, and I'll go on record and make this statement, if any marriage, and you may say you have the perfect marriage, and that's great. I'm glad you do. But if any marriage is going to survive, there has to be an element of forgiveness in that marriage. You know why? Because we as humans, we fail each other. We as humans, we let each other down. And I've said many times, even in counseling, dealing in marital counseling and talking about when situations have arisen, and I said, you know, oftentimes big resentments, as Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, big resentments are the result of something very small, very little, just a little hurt. And all, if it doesn't get taken care of, if that little hurt doesn't get forgiven, it often results in bitterness and big resentment in marriages. And I said, oftentimes in marriage, one of the things that causes problems in marriage is truthfully an unrealistic expectation of the other spouse. You say, well, Pastor, when I got married, I thought, well, buddy, strike one. Amen? Well, preacher, I'll be honest. When I got married, I just knew that it was going to be heaven on earth. I mean, you know, preacher, marriages are made in heaven. Yeah, so is lightning and thunder. Right? I said to Leslie one time, I said, babe, I was reading over Proverbs 31, and I said, the Bible says right here, and I want you to be a biblical wife. I said, the Bible says right here, she rises early. And she does do that. I greet the morning in a process. Amen. She jumps up like, hello, world. I'm like, go to sleep. It's 5:30 in the morning. The Lord's busy with all the other people praying to him. I'm going to greet him at about 8 when he ain't so busy. But anyway, I said, babe, I said, the Bible says right here, she rises up early, she blesses her husband, and it talks about cooking a good meal for your husband, a good breakfast, a hot breakfast. This is what Leslie said. She goes, she said, oh, really? I said, yeah. She says, you want a hot breakfast, do you? I said, yeah. She says, light your cornflakes on fire. She didn't say that. I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. You say, yeah, but preacher, my wife doesn't make the bread like my wife doesn't make the meals like my mom. Well, chances are you don't make the dough like her daddy did either, amen? Forgiveness. It's needed in marriages. Matter of fact, let me write this down. Write this down. This may be an original thought with me, and that's a miracle of God. Forgiveness is needed in any human relationship. Forgiveness is needed in any human relationship. So why? Because people let each other down. People hurt each other. People do things that you wouldn't think would be possible. Why? Because we're human. And may I still remind you of this? We're sinners. And we're sinners. If we're born again, we're just simply sinners saved by the grace of God. And I will tell you this as well. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I would never do that. Really? I would never say that. You better say it's only by the grace of God you haven't done that. Well, I would never do that to my spouse. You better say it's by the grace of God you haven't done that. You say, have you and Leslie thought about divorce? No, but we've thought about murder a few times, you know. She's thought about murder a few times. And I just look at her and say, you don't want to leave these babies without a father, do you? That's all right, I'll get another one of them. Fathers are a dime a dozen. No, I'm just kidding. Notice, if you will, a few things real quick. I'll get through this quick because I think There's a lot in these verses. Notice the measurement of forgiveness. Peter says, Lord, how oft? Seven times? You see, Jewish tradition taught three times. Peter doubled it and added one for good measure. Peter thought he was showing great faith and love when he offered to forgive at least seven times. That's generosity, is it not? I mean, the Jews, Lord, only require three. And so God, I'm such a spiritual giant. God, I'm going to double it. And oh, for good measure, we'll put a cherry on top of it. Can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you sense it? And may I remind you that Peter, though asking the question, Peter was a man that undeniably in the Bible was a man that received mega forgiveness from Jesus. Jesus tells Peter on occasion, he said, hey, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, I love you. I don't know about these other cats, but God, I love you. I'm on cats today. God, I don't know about these other chihuahua. I mean, fellas. God, I love you. Matter of fact, Lord, I'll die for you. Jesus says, Peter, you don't know what you're saying, son, because Peter, you need to understand, before the old Baptist rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, Lord, no way will I do that. What happened? He denied the Lord. And the Bible says when that old rooster crowed, what did Peter do? When at the final crowing, the Bible says he remembered the words of the Lord and he went out and he wept bitterly. Why? Because he'd been brought face to face with the love of God and he'd been brought face to face with the power of God's forgiveness. The measurement of forgiveness. Now, when in the context of this, so Peter's saying, Lord, how much? Notice, second of all, notice the merciful in forgiveness. Notice the merciful in forgiveness. You'll never understand this passage until you understand the debt that this man owed to the king. The Bible tells it, I had you underline it, verse 24. The Bible says it was 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. So the merciful in forgiveness, notice a few thoughts on this. Letter A, notice the debt. The debt that was owed here. 10,000 talents in the economy of that day. A man would have to work 20 years. Hear me. A man would have to work 20 years to earn one talent. He owed 10,000 talents. Do the math. It's an insurmountable amount that he owed this man. May I also remind you, and this is a picture of God and his grace and mercy, it was an amount that there was absolutely no human possible way that he could pay him back. Remind you of something? We owed a debt we couldn't pay, brother. He paid a debt he did not owe. This debt, it's insurmountable. In the terms of today's buying power, it's probably equivalent to over $10 million. The talent was the highest known denomination of currency in the Roman Empire. 10,000 was the highest number for which the Greek language had a particular word, they say. Their minds, it was on the borderline of what the ancient mindset could have even conceived. They can't conceive. They cannot understand it. So to read this text and to hear this story, the Jewish mind would have thought, wow. Wow. What a debt. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a picture of something. This indeed is a picture of what we owe God. We're sinners. And because we're sinners, we can't. Listen, that is why it's so important to understand that salvation is a gift. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. And by the way, we don't keep it either. Salvation is indeed, it is a gift of God. And somebody said it's grace, which is a great thoughts on grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Said so brilliantly several years ago. I read that statement. But it's all about the grace of God. And God gives it to us the moment we repent, the moment we trust Christ our Savior, the moment we understand that our sins put Jesus on the cross. And by faith, we understand that yes, we deserve hell. But because of his mercy and grace, we don't have to go there. He'll cancel the debt. He'll forgive you through the blood of his son. He'll take you to heaven someday when you die. And he'll give you a life. We don't necessarily know how long on this earth, but he'll give us a life that we can give him glory through. Wow. What a joy. What an amazing thought. The number is so vast, an unaccountable amount, countless, incalculable, unpayable debt.
debt than we see.
This unpayable debt, as I said, represents the debt of sin that everyone owes God. So we see the debt. Second of all, notice the demand. Notice the demand. The Bible tells us, verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, he wasn't able to pay it. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. This man had shown no sign of mercy, but to the contrary, he had been stealing, embezzling from the king up until the time of discovery. Seemingly, he is not ashamed of what he has done. He only regrets the fact that he got caught. In our day and time, the story unfolds for us a couple of years ago. A man by the name of Madoff. Remember Madoff? Embezzled all those people's retirements. Embezzled, swindled people out of millions and millions and millions of dollars. And the only time he showed remorse was when he got caught. We see the desperation in verse 26. Here's the act of the total submission of throwing himself completely on the master's mercy. The man was guilty. Look at verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. So he's falling before the king, saying, Lord, look at this, have patience with me. Have patience. Look at it. With me, and I will pay thee all. Could he pay it? No. Did the king understand he couldn't pay it? Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can illustrate perfectly in the Bible, Jesus knew you couldn't pay it either. And that's why he died for you. That's why he went to the cross for you. How arrogant it is of us to think for one moment that we can get to heaven on our own good works and our own good deeds and our own merits. That is a slap, and that is a spitting into the face of God's grace and mercy. We couldn't get to God. God had to come to us, and he sent Jesus Christ to die for us as sinners. And here's what's so amazing about God. Jesus, the Bible says, who knew no sin, guess what he did? He became sin for us. So that when Jesus died on the cross, he died the death that really was a death only to be given to the worst of criminals. Death of execution was no lethal injection type. You know, we make the criminal as comfortable as we can. We give him the lethal. Before we give him the lethal dose, we make him comfortable. Then we give him the lethal dose. No, friend. It wasn't anything like that. It was a cruel, agonizing death. Before they would even get the victim, if you will, to the cross, they would beat them with a cat of nine tails. Often, listen, literally, often the beating of the cat of nine tails would kill many a victim. Just the beating of the cat of nine tails. And yet Jesus endures all that. He goes to the cross where they literally nail his hands to it and his feet to it. And there he is on that cross suspended between heaven and earth. And there he stands as your sacrifice. Wow. Somebody said, how do I know God loves me, preacher? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. Imagine in your mind and look back 2,000 years ago or so and look at the cross on the hill of Calvary. The songwriter put it best when they said, he loves me. I love you, Jesus says. I love you. I love you. And here's how it is. I love you. And it's written in red. The blood of Jesus Christ, indeed. So we see the demand. We see his desperation. He's guilty. He's condemned. He's devastated. He's genuinely now repentant as we read through this passage. He had no defense, and he offered none. The Bible tells us, then the Lord, look at verse number 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, notice this, and forgave him the debt. We see the last thing under that one point, the debt forgiven. The servant, listen, friend, the servant did not deserve forgiveness, and he could not possibly earn it. It was granted. It was purely an act of love and mercy on the part, listen, it was purely an act of love and mercy on the part of the Master. And when we think of our lives as born-again believers in Jesus, sweet friend, you're forgiven here today because God showed love on you and showed mercy on you through the shed blood of his Son. That's it. That and only that is why you're forgiven. You say, oh, preacher, listen. Can you see the extraordinary picture of God's compassionate love for the genuine repentant sinner who throws himself on his mercy. He had compassion. He released him. He forgave this man the debt. And the Bible tells us. Can you imagine? Picture in your mind. Let's flesh this out for a moment. Can you imagine you being this person? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine being brought into the presence of the king? And you have to understand something about this. Being brought into the presence of the king, literally, the king and his authority, he could determine whether you live or die. Right? He could determine that. And you come into his presence, brother, you know you're guilty. You know without a shadow of a doubt, you've done it. And you deserve whatever justice demands, that's what you deserve. But sweet friend, that man, when he came into the presence of the king, justice demand, payment, justice demand, death no doubt, but thank God, mercy said, no. No. A man's forgiven. Picture yourself being that individual. You hear the sweetest words you've ever heard as a human being in your entire life. The king said, I forgive you of the debt. As a matter of fact, you owe me no debt any longer. Wow. I don't know about you, but does that remind you of anybody? Does that remind you of Jesus? Man, I can't imagine. I just can't, honestly, my human mind sometimes, it does not allow me to truly grasp this. But I want to show you something here. Notice another thing. Notice the merciless in forgiveness. So we had the merciful, that's the king. Now we have the merciless in forgiveness, and it's going to be this servant. So here's a man, he's been forgiven, right? Everybody look up here for a minute before we read this passage. Not by show of hands, but in the quietness of your heart, have you been born again? Now that you've answered that question, and if you've answered that question, yes, it's absolutely biblically right to say you've been forgiven. You have been set free from the debt. You have been forgiven. And may I remind you, I said earlier in this passage, earlier in this message, God forgave me, and you could say the same thing. He forgave me of the simple sins, and I thank God that he does. But brothers and sisters, he's also forgiven me and forgiven you of the not so simple ones. Is that right, or am I just preaching to a quiet church? Sure, that's right. Absolutely, that's right. So now let's dig into the passage. But, look at verse 28. This man's been forgiven. This man's been set free. Oh, and by the way, because of this man being set free, it spared his family. Hear me. It spared his wife. It spared his children being sold into slavery because the king canceled his debt. You know, it's amazing what God can do in the life of a husband or a dad when his debt gets canceled. It's amazing. Maybe what your family needs more than anything is for you to sincerely, genuinely get born again and quit living a lie. You say, oh, Pastor, I can fake it till I make it. No, you can't. And by the way, you're not fooling anyone. That little lady sitting on that second row, we've been together over 19 years. We'll be married almost 19 years this December, so we will be together some 20 years. And you know what? She knows a little bit about me. And she knows that when I'm not where I need to be. Y'all all right? So, sir, maybe to keep your kids going into bondage, keep your family going into bondage, maybe it'd be a good opportunity for you to just settle this debt with God and allow God to forgive you of your sins and allow God to genuinely save you and born you again into his family and kingdom. Because you think you're doing okay and you think you're fooling everybody. You're not fooling God. I promise you on the authority of the Bible, you're not fooling God. I don't know who that's for, but I pray God use it. The merciless and forgiveness. So the Bible says in verse 28, but the same servant, which servant? The one that's just been forgiven. The one who's just been canceled of a debt that he couldn't pay in his lifetime. He couldn't pay it into perhaps 5,000 lifetimes. The Bible tells us he found one of his fellow servants in verse 28, in which, notice this now, he found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. So you would have thought, before you read on in that, you would have thought, man, this guy, he's just come out of the king's court. He's just come out and he's been forgiven. So he's going to see a fellow servant that owes him some money. You would have thought he would look at that fellow servant and say, you know what? Because of what the king did, man, I can't hold any grudge to you. Because of what the king did for me, and he forgiving me of all my debt and sparing my family and saving my marriage and saving my family, I can't be vindictive. I can't hold you hostage. I can't hold a grudge to you. I can't be mean-spirited to you. But he didn't do that. The Bible says, you read in verse 28, the Bible says he grabbed him by the throat. Really? Question. Does it sound like a man that's been forgiven would do something like this? You say, preacher, well, boy, I'm glad that's in the Bible and that's not me. Well, I'm glad you said that. You know what we do when somebody hurts us and we say we'll never forgive them? We're just like this servant. We're just like this servant. We're no better than he is. You say, preacher, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. From the bottom of my heart, that may be true. But sweet friend, I said earlier, and I hope you'll grab this, forgiveness isn't natural. It's supernatural. It takes God's grace to do it. You say, yeah, but preacher, what about the person that hurt me? Let's flesh this out for a moment, church. What about the person who abused you as a child? So, preacher, forgive them. Forgive them. You say, preacher, I'll never do that. Sweet friend, understand something. What did God forgive you of? What did God forgive you of? He forgave you of everything. He forgave you of the simple sins. He forgave you of the not so simple sins. He forgave you of the gross sins. And may I remind you of something? He forgave you and I of every sin we could ever commit in our lifetime. So, preacher, you talked about forgiving somebody that hurt you as a child. How? You can't say that. Yeah, I can, because I was abused as a child. And I say that not for pity. I say that because, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. You see, ladies and gentlemen, grace of God showers down upon you. And it's only by God's grace and his mercy and his love that we're able to forgive one another. You say, preacher, yeah, but if I forgive and they do it again, what do I do then? You keep forgiving. Because here's what happens. He grabs him by the throat. And notice what else he does. Look at the text. Verse 28. He laid his hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. You know what happens when we don't forgive people? We hold them hostage. You know, and really to illustrate it, it's like, and perhaps you've seen it, if you're cool and you watch the news and the Weather Channel. Amen. That's a degree of coolness that only a few of us achieve. I'm just telling you. But you ever see on the news, they'll report, breaking news, a bus has been taken hostage in Jerusalem or an airplane has been hijacked. What's happening there? Here's what's happening there. What's happening there is some thugs, one, two, who, however many, they have taken over that plane, they've taken over that bus, they've taken over perhaps a school, and what they're saying is this, until you give me what I demand, I'm going to hold you hostage. And ladies and gentlemen, those may be pretty graphic illustration, but for illustrational purposes only, when we as God's people don't forgive each other, we're just like those terrorists. We hold them hostage, and here's what we do. Until you give me my demands, I'm not going to forgive you. Sweet friend, that's not like Jesus. And that's not what Jesus did for you. Wow. Anybody getting this? Anybody getting a hold of this? God arrested me with this several years ago. And man, he began to work me over of some people in my life. This was probably 5, 6 years ago, Brother Tommy, 7 years ago maybe. I preached a series through this. And I was sitting in my living room at the house, and God began to bring a person into my mind that as a kid abandoned me and hurt me. And I thought I'd forgiven him, but I hadn't. And right there in my chair, I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me, please, for not forgiving that person. Because God, hear me, hear my heart. God, you forgave me of everything. Absolutely everything. You say, yeah, preacher, but what do I do when I still sin? You ask God for forgiveness. But may I remind you of something? Everybody look up here for a minute. If you don't look up, I'm adding 30 minutes. Look up here. Not really, because I'm starving to death. But anyway, it was a good place to put that. So somebody needs to buy me a hamburger after church. I don't want to rob you of a blessing, but they got good deals at Culver's. But anyway, you get the kid's basket, you get ice cream with it. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. Tear that little thing up there, and you go up there, and you get real little, and you hand it to them, and they feel sorry for you. Oh, you're that little mentally challenged boy that keeps coming up here. Yeah. Goodness gracious. God's love for you, and God's love for me, and God's forgiveness for me, and God's forgiveness for you, it's not based on my performance, and it's not based on your performance. God loves you no matter what. Wow. That's a good sermon title. He loves you no matter what. You see, what we do as human beings is we want to put stipulations on love, don't we? Well, I'll love that wife or I'll love that husband only if they give me what I demand. No, God says love them unconditionally. You want to revitalize your marriage. You want to rejuvenate your marriage. Bring unconditional love in it. Well, next time you look in the mirror, you ought to look in the mirror and say, you know what? Here's a man or here's a woman that God's forgiven of everything. Wow. So this man says, pay me what you owe me. Pay me the debt what you owe me. He's merciless. He's forgiving, or he's forgetting what his king did for him. When we refuse, hear my heart. When we refuse to forgive each other and we hold people hostage, I'm going to show you in a minute, biblically, guess what happened? Guess who gets put in jail? You do. Not that person. You do. That's who gets put in jail. And I'm going to tell you right now, unforgiveness, that often leads to bitterness, a root of bitterness, guess what it does? It will destroy your walk with God. You say, what do you mean? Will I lose my salvation? No. No. If you believe that, you've forgotten everything that I've said in the last 30 minutes. You say, it's been longer than 30 minutes. Well, buy me a hamburger and I'll shut it down. Amen. Motion and second. No, I'm just kidding. So the Bible goes on. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell down at his feet. Look at this now. And besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Boy, does that sound familiar? Isn't that what that old boy just did before the king? Have patience with me, I'll pay what I owe you. But he would not, verse 30, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. The merciless. The servant used the exact same words his creditor used before his king to make his plea. The hunt, and here's something interesting. Dr. William Barclay, a famous writer, writes these words. He said, the 100 denarii debt that this man owed now could be carried in one pocket. It was like pocket change that he owed this guy. But the 10,000 talent debt would take an army. Listen, it would take to carry it. This 10,000 debt would take an army of 8,600 carriers, each carrying a sack of 60 pounds in weight, and would form at a distance of a yard apart a line 5 miles long. Wow. So this man who owes this guy, he only owes him pocket change. This guy's just come out of a king's courtroom where he's been forgiven of a debt that would have 8,600 soldiers three feet apart, 5 miles long. Doesn't compare, does it? Was Jesus saying that when people hurt us, that it doesn't hurt? No, he's not saying that. But what he's saying is, for the betterment of your relationship with Jesus, remember what he did for you. And in doing so, because of what he did for you, question for you, church, should we not be like Jesus in our life? Should we not be like Jesus in our character? Should we not be? You say, yeah, preacher, but I'm going to tell you right now, somebody hurts me, brother, they're going to get the biting in. Wow. You're not like Jesus. And may I remind you, you're in rebellion to the Word of God, friend. Well, you said, listen. Can we not get to the point in our lives? And I asked you earlier, can we not get to the point in our lives, if we're born again, that we try to live by God's word? Shouldn't we be doing that? You say, preacher, they hurt me, brother. I'm going to come right back at them. Yeah. And you're a carnal Christian if you do that. And I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, you better not do that. You say, well, preacher, no, there's no what's about it. We have to forgive because Jesus commands it. The message of forgiveness, and we're done. The Bible says in verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, and by the way, people are watching us. Do you not understand that? Let's bring this in personal. If you're a parent, your kids are watching. You didn't hear me. Your kids are watching you. And they're hearing what you say. And they're watching how you react. Dr. Johnny Hunt said it profoundly. He said, we don't reproduce what we preach and what we say. We reproduce who we are. That's a profound statement. That's applicable even in marriage, in children, raising children often. We produce who we are. The message of forgiveness. Sin of unforgiveness is in some ways even more wicked in a believer because he has greater motivation and power to be forgiving. Verse 31 and following, when we're done. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Oh, wait a minute. You mean the king gets wind of it? You mean the king hears about how we treat one another? May I remind you, sweet friend, the king hears all about how we treat each other. And he knows all about if we forgive or we don't forgive. Y'all all right? So look at the text. Then his Lord, verse 32, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Boy, that's a sermon in itself. Till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto thee, unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Verse 34, the king says, you'll be delivered over to the tormentors. You know, it's interesting, when a person is unforgiving and bitterness sets in, guess what they become? Very tormented individuals. Unrestful, unable to rest, always agitated. Always critical, always bitter, never have a nice thing to say about anybody. Why? Because you have bitterness, sweet friend, in your heart. You have unforgiveness in your soul, and God will not allow you to live like that and prosper as a believer. You say, preacher, yeah, but you don't understand. Listen, here's what I do understand. You have more power than you realize. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I started to, and I wish I would have, but sitting on my desk is a wad of keys. That's the way we say it, I guess, down south. It's just a big old bundle of keys. The problem with those keys, I would throw some of them away, but I don't know what they unlock. And it may be a key that unlocks a box that has $1 million in it. Y'all all right? So I don't throw them away. I keep adding to the keys. There's several keys on there. One key unlocks the door to the church. One key unlocks the door to my house. Just got a new lock put on my office. I got a key now for that unlocks my door. Keeps all the heathen out of my office, amen. All little rugrats. But friend, I'm going to tell you something right now. God's giving you a key ring. He's giving you one key. And engraved on that key is these words. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Sitting in this room today, you said, Pastor, you said earlier about something in your childhood that hurt you. Maybe you were hurt as a child. You have power. Listen, now that you're born again in Jesus, you have more power than you realize. You have the power to set that person free. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I have a spouse that has hurt me deeply. What do I do? And I hear people all the time say things. What do I do with a spouse that's mean to me? What do I do with a spouse that has hurt me? You take the key out. And you forgive for Christ's sake. That's the key. That's the key. You say, Pastor, what do I do with somebody that... What do I do with somebody that's hurt me that now is dead and gone? You take the key out. And you release them the debt. May I remind you of where perhaps you just came from? I came out of the King's Court, Brother Joe, on July the 6th of 1988. Forgiven. Debts canceled. I stood at the front of that church as the members of First Baptist Church Alexander came by and they started shaking my hand. And there's another sermon in that. They started shaking my hand. I remember saying to my cousin Doug and his soon-to-be wife at the time, Katrina, I said to them on that Wednesday night, and I didn't say this, I know this now, salvation is not a feeling, but it is, you feel it, you know. And I said, I feel like the whole weight of the world has been lifted off my shoulders. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens when you offer and you extend forgiveness to somebody that hurt you. Our sins hurt the Lord, but He forgave us. And we need to be like Him. And if we're going to be like Him, we got to practice forgiveness. Now, first and foremost, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, no matter who you are, maybe you're a church member. That's possible. You've never trusted Jesus. Maybe today would be the first time in your life you would repent of your sin, asking God to forgive you of all of your sins, and ask God to save you, believing that Christ died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You ask Him to save you. He'll save you. I promise you, He saved me. He'll save you. Then once you get saved, you follow your Lord in baptism. I'd love to baptize you. Become part of this local New Testament church where you can grow in your walk with God and in fellowship with your Lord and with other believers in Jesus Christ. You say, yeah, but preacher, churches are full of hypocrites. My attitude to that is what big deal is one more? Amen? Amen? We all sometimes get hypocritical. I said it even of myself, not being stereotypical. But I said even myself, because there's many times I have to ask the Lord to forgive me for things that I'm doing that really aren't pleasing to God.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.